futures, and for the last 5 years at Fox and the last 6 years of my life, it's been very simple. Kansas City Chiefs win Super Bowl. I don't know why, man. Call it a hunch, call it a gut feeling. I think this is the best team yet for Josh Allen. He's clearly at his best level off the MVP. For the first time in my life, hand on heart, I have made a bet on the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl.
That's Sammy P. Earlier on this week, he said it. Bills, it's the year. It's finally going to happen. Don't know if they're going to have to take out the Chiefs. They probably will. Maybe the Ravens as well, a team that we also broke down today. But Sammy is saying it a week before the season gets going that it is going to be the Bills' year. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Kind enough to join us to talk about the Buffalo Bills, our buddy Mike Shope from Shope and the Bulldog, WGR, out in Buffalo, another Odyssey station. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
My pleasure. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
When you hear somebody pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl, what's your reaction?
I mean, a few things. There's a little bit of a tingle, right? I mean, a top tout doing so, not just your mom. So that's cool. It's never happened. So there's that, sort of the I don't know, is the word ethos, kind of like the culture in Buffalo is not that everybody's this way, but you sort of expect the worst. You expect the pain, ultimately, the Bills and the Sabres, no championships. So, of course, it'd be historic. It's also, you know, you could say fitting because the stadium is in its last year. They have marquee home games against Baltimore, week one, Sunday night. Philadelphia, Kansas City is back here. Famously, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season 4 years in a row, and the Bengals. So it'll be a memorable year here, to put it mildly.
But they go 8-0 last year. They go 8-0 at home last year, the first time that happened since 1990. What is your realistic expectation for their performance at home? Because obviously, it goes without saying that that's tough to back that up.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't win all four of those games, right? I mean, those are incredible matchups right away. I mean, the opener is a near pick 'em. They're favored in every other game, if not also in the opener. I mean, New Orleans comes in, and the division is considered weak. The division will be the tipping point for the, you know, the discourse this regular season. New England's schedule is so embarrassingly bad. Like, if they're good at all, they'll be at least 8-5 getting into December. I mean, at least. If they're any good at all. And if they're a little better than that, then you're in a race at least as the Bills. So that'll keep things interesting. I mean, you can't ever expect a team to go undefeated at home for a whole season. I've talked to you guys enough times. And any over-under where it's 11.5 or higher, I have to really fight my instincts to go over, like on anybody, just because the randomness, injuries, all kinds of different variables. But, you know, everybody... sort of, it's perfectly reasonable to see this team the same way as a year ago. And last year, they clinched the AFC East on December 1st.
If I were to make a number, nobody is doing this. No books are doing this. If I were to make a divisional wins number, though, and say it's 4.5, I'd have to make the over very expensive, right? It's either an expensive over on 4.5 at like -200. Or dare I go to 5.5 and make the under -200? Like, I think 5 is the perfect number, but I don't know if I would open 4.5 or 5.5. The expectation, though, Mike, is they win at least 5 games in this division, right?
I mean, you're right on it. They have the Week 18 game in the division every year, and like they lost that game last year to Joe Milton, so that could screw up your plans if you're betting overs, you know, like that in the division. That's the Jets at home this year to close the stadium, red helmets. Maybe like last year, Josh Allen plays one play. I don't know. It'll depend, of course, on what their postseason outlook is. I'd have the same instinct on over 5.5 or, you know, in a situation like that. I couldn't do it. 5-1 I would sign for right now. New England might be good. The Bills have completely owned the Dolphins, but they've stumbled against the Jets. Sometimes if you consider the Jets live, I don't know, 4-2 isn't, listen to me, right? I mean, What, look at our lives in Buffalo these days with the Bills in terms of the regular season in the division, at least. 4-2 doesn't sound good at all.
With these top teams in the AFC, we've gone over it the last couple of days, and they all clearly got better. Like, I'm looking at the Chiefs offensively. We know the Rice suspension that comes down yesterday. They're better overall, at least potentially. We'll see if the left tackle, the rookie, is going to be good. The Ravens defense, probably going to be much improved. The Bills defense looks to be much improved. On paper, all three of those teams are better. But asking about the Bills specifically, what is their weakness going into the regular season?
It's got to be, I think, Joe, the secondary. We all knew their one position to address in the draft was corner opposite Christian Benford. Kind of amazingly, for a team that was had 32 takeaways, third in the league last year, Rasul Douglas, who was kind of a playmaker type at corner, had no interceptions. Like, he didn't really make a play for them at all. They let him go. They brought back Trey White, and he's had an injury-riddled last few years. I don't know what that's going to be. Then he got hurt in practice late last week, and he's iffy for the opener. And Max Hairston, their first-round pick corner, is out for at least 4 games. So there's that. And I think Sean McDermott has even said it. There are questions about the Bills at safety next to Taylor Rapp. It might be Damar Hamlin. They have a second-round pick from last year in Cole Bishop, but he hasn't really established yet. They brought back Jordan Poyer yesterday for the practice squad. Like, I don't know. Secondary's got to be it. They poured so much capital into the defensive line again. I mean, they've done this before. And I think they might need to be a team defensively that can, consistently create pressure, or they could be vulnerable. And we'll find out, pretty quick with the Ravens here what that's going to look like, especially if White misses.
Oh, that could be a fun game. If that secondary isn't as good as people understand, Sunday, December 7th, what's the total on Cincinnati and Buffalo?
Depends on the weather.
I guess you're right. As I say that, it could be 30 degrees and snowing. So I guess we don't really know. I wanted to ask you about receiver, because Joe had asked me what's a weakness. And I don't know that it's a weakness, but they don't have that first round fantasy guy, right? They don't have Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. They don't have that guy. But I look at this number on Keon Coleman, and if they take the governor off and let him go, I think it could be a decent year there. 750.5 yards. Is that number too high, too low, or just right?
I don't think it's too low. I mean, they have every incentive to feed Coleman, I guess. I mean, it's not going to be like the players you mentioned, as you said, but that's where they should want to, put their chips. We talk about wide receiver every day on WGR. The GM, the day after the draft, famously called in and was hot about how many times he has to hear about what he hasn't done in wide receiver. And his line later that week was, how can people say I haven't addressed wide receiver? I signed Joshua Palmer. And I cringed. I mean, I cringed. Like, really? That's your position? However, it's hard to call it a weakness when they just set a franchise record for points with Mac Hollins leading the team in receiving touchdowns and Curtis Samuel hurt all season. I mean, Coleman had his moments. He also had an injury. Amari Cooper looked washed. What was it? You had Khalil Shakir, who established a pretty good floor. I mean, I think lots of sharp people, I think, are betting on Coleman. He has his flaws as a player. Can he separate? It'll be up to the Bills to open that up. Last year, they were extremely efficient running the ball. They ran for 30 touchdowns. James Cook put down 16 rushing touchdowns after 2 years of having two. So that, and of course, you have Allen. So that was more, if you will, their identity on offense. If they're forced into more of a passing offense, which I'd love to see, then Coleman is the number one name. And yeah, I think I would probably take the over there because of those variables. They don't run the ball as easily. Maybe some tougher opponents, weather, who knows. Cook is not going to rush for 16 touchdowns again. Coleman is the one. I think the more people are talking about him than anyone else in their receiver core as someone who could or should pop.
So I keep looking at, when I'm looking for a Bills bet, I keep going back to James Cook. And he goes from 2 rushing touchdowns to 16. So what do they do with the number this year on the season-long prop? 8.5. What do you think when I say 8.5 rushing touchdowns for James Cook?
I'd have to go under. I mean, that's what a number, right? What a dare that is. They did sign him. He played 44.7% of the snaps and ran for 16 touchdowns. Come on. Whoa. You might think that they'll use him more often because now they have a longer term investment, but I think that could easily work the other way. Now, I don't think they'd use him less often, but you know, you have positive game scripts as a team as good as this, and here come your rushing touchdowns. And I do think also, I guess I'm making the case for both sides, but one of these days, Allen's number is going to come down. I mean, he is 29 now. People draw Cam Newton comparisons based on his style of play. He has 67 rushing touchdowns for his career. That's more than OJ. That's more than Thurman Thomas. I mean, it's like it's the franchise record. He's 29. Eventually that comes down, but it's hard for me to bet. I would have lost the house last year betting this over 8.5 touchdowns for James Cook. And he doubled it pretty much. So I don't think I could go over there, but they did. You're right. They did put the number at a place where it really is. That's what makes it so much fun stuff.
We did talk about this last week with Bulldog. His rushing touchdown number, it's 10.5, and it seems high, but then you look at the last 2 years and it's 15 and 12.
Yeah.
So again, not a big sample size, two seasons. I mean, big enough, but not like the end all be all. I just think he's, and I told Bulldog this, I think Josh, in the most respectful way I can say this, is such a psycho around the five that he's still of that mindset that I'm going to get in, I'm going to get mine. And until I see that change, I'm not betting that under 10.5.
Yeah, that's fair. It depends on what kind of season they're having too. I mean, he still got, was it 15 2 years ago, you said? Or 12,
yep,
15, whatever it
and then
was.
12.
That season, the mandate was to rein that in, not touchdowns per se, but his rushing. And, you know, before the season, they were talking about how they want him to slide more. And Brandon Bean said something like, you know, if it's week two, maybe make a different choice. That kind of thinking. And then they were 6-6 and fired their offensive coordinator. I'm like, all right, you know, screw that. And, you know, he went crazy after that. So I think if they have an easier year, maybe that number is tempered some. And I'd want to correlate that, I think, even though last year that was an easy year and he still got to double digits. 10.5, still 11. Well, that's just such a big number for a quarterback. He keeps doing it. His rookie year, he ran for some number like 7 or 8. And I remember betting with my friends, like, there's just no way he's going to do that again. And look at what's happened. I mean, Martin Galing Allen's under on rushing touchdowns would be, you know, I'd be in the poorhouse, you know, and so would everybody I know, probably my family, be bad.
With Mike Schoep, WGR, talking about the Buffalo Bills. Mike, I do want to squeeze in some fantasy stuff. I know it's a passion. We're always amazed how many leagues that you're in. Is there a specific player or two that you keep on drafting that you've said he's going to break out? I don't care that I'm taking him much higher than ADP. I want this guy on as many teams as possible. Any players that stand out when I ask that question?
Yeah, lots of them. I think this is such a fun year for the young running backs, first and second year guys. Last year busted. Nobody liked last year's running back class. And then you had that plus all those veteran running backs up top staying healthy. So there was no room for like a Trey Benson in Arizona. You can't really, if you're drafting a lot, you can't, as you'll know, get Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson all the time. I mean, it depends on where you're picking. When you get to the end of the first round, it's really flush with receivers and even like Genty or McCaffrey. Like you can do a lot of different things. The guys I'm loading up on though are all like your second half of the draft, first, second year running backs. Bashel Tootin is a hot one this year out of Jacksonville. A lot of these tournaments too reward end of the season production. The money weeks are the playoff weeks. And you're more likely to draft a rookie. You're more likely to draft a Tootin over a ETN on the chance that late in the season he's on the field. Keaton Mitchell has been one of my favorite late round. Now he's more mid round running back dart throws too in Baltimore because he's been so good when he's played. He just had a bad injury in the preseason. He looked great. There are lots of those guys, Breshard Smith in Kansas City. I mean, these are not household names at all, but that's what I'm trying to do. And I would say more, you know, interestingly, probably earlier in drafts, I check my fantasy exposures every once in a while. And it's really kind of incredible to me that my top two owned tight ends would be McBride and Bowers, who are the first two off the board. Like, I obviously, I've been investing heavily there.
All right, very good. Mike Shope, afternoons on WGR in Buffalo and Odyssey Station throughout the football season. You hear myself on Thursday, Sam on Fridays on their terrific show. Thank you so much, Mike. We're going to circle back to those college football matchups coming up this weekend next. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.